Chapter 55. Up for the poor man, who was in a worry low state of mind about his loss, and went up and down the streets, for 3 or 4 days, a pulling his hair off in such a desperate manner that many people was afraid he might be going to make away with himself. One day he came up to the office, all in a hurry, and had a private interview with the magistrate, who, after a deal of talk, rings the bell, and orders Jem Spires in. Jem was a active officer, and tells him to go, and assist Mr. Chickweed in apprehending the man as robbed his house. "I see him, Spires," said Chickweed, "pass my house yesterday morning. Why didn't you up, and collar him?" Says Spires, "I was so struck all of a heap, that you might have fractured my skull with a toothpick," says the poor man. "But we're sure to have him, for between 10 and 11 o'clock at night he passed again." Spires no sooner heard this, than he put some clean linen and a comb in his pocket, in case he should have to stop a day or two, and away he goes, and sets himself down at one of the public house windows behind the little red curtain, with his hat on, all ready to bolt out at a moment's notice. He was smoking his pipe here, late at night, when all of a sudden Chickweed roars out, "Here he is! Stop thief! Murder!" Jem Spires dashes out, and there he sees Chickweed, a tearing down the street full cry. Away goes Spires, on goes Chickweed, round turns the people, everybody roars out, "Thieves!" And Chickweed himself keeps on shouting, all the time, like mad. Spires loses sight of him a minute as he turns a corner, shoots round, sees a little crowd, dives in, which is the man. "Demme," says Chickweed, "I've lost him again." It was a remarkable occurrence, but he warn't to be seen nowhere, so they went back to the public house. Next morning, Spires took his old place, and looked out, from behind the curtain, for a tall man with a black patch over his eye, till his own two eyes ached again. At last, he couldn't help shutting them, to ease him a minute, and the very moment he did so, he hears Chickweed roaring out, "Here he is!" Off he starts once more, with Chickweed halfway down the street ahead of him, and after twice as long a run as the yesterday's one, the man's lost again. This was done, once or twice more, till one half the neighbors gave out that Mr. Chickweed had been robbed by the devil, who was playing tricks with him afterwards, and the other half, that poor Mr. Chickweed had gone mad with grief. Apostrophe, what did Jem Spires say? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the doctor, who had returned to the room shortly after the commencement of the story. Jem Spires, apostrophe, resumed the officer, for a long time said nothing at all, and listened to everything without seeming to, which showed he understood his business. But, one morning, he walked into the bar, and taking out his snuff box, says, "Chickweed, I found out who done this here robbery." "Have you?" said Chickweed. "Oh, my dear Spires, only let me have vengeance, and I shall die contented." "Oh, my dear Spires, where is the villain?" "Come," said Spires, offering him a pinch of snuff, "none of that gammon. You did it yourself." So he had, and a good bit of money he had made by it too, and nobody would never have found it out, if he hadn't been so precious anxious to keep up appearances. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Blathers, putting down his wine glass, and clinking the handcuffs together. "Very curious, indeed," apostrophe, observed the doctor. "Now, if you please, you can walk upstairs." "Apostrophe, if you please, sir," apostrophe, returned Mr. Blathers. Closely following Mr. Losburne, the two officers ascended to Oliver's bedroom, Mr. Giles preceding the party with a lighted candle. Oliver had been dozing, but looked worse, and was more feverish than he had appeared yet. Being assisted by the doctor, he managed to sit up in bed for a minute or so, and looked at the strangers without at all understanding what was going forward, in fact, without seeming to recollect where he was, or what had been passing. "This," apostrophe, said Mr. Losburne, speaking softly, but with great vehemence notwithstanding, "this is the lad, who, being accidentally wounded by a spring gun in some boyish trespass on Mr. What do ye call him's grounds, at the back here, comes to the house for assistance this morning, and is immediately laid hold of and maltreated by that ingenious gentleman with the candle in his hand, who has placed his life in considerable danger, as I can professionally certify. Apostrophe Mrs. Blathers and Duff looked at Mr. Giles, as he was thus recommended to their notice. The bewildered butler gazed from them towards Oliver, and from Oliver towards Mr. Losberne, with a most ludicrous mixture of fear and perplexity. You don't mean to deny that, I suppose? Apostrophe apostrophe said the doctor, laying Oliver gently down again. It was all done for the best, sir, apostrophe answered Giles. I am sure I thought it was the boy, or I wouldn't have meddled with him. I am not of an inhuman disposition, sir. Apostrophe, thought it was what boy? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired the senior officer. The housebreaker's boy, sir. Apostrophe apostrophe replied Giles. They certainly had a boy. Apostrophe, well, do you think so now? Apostrophe inquired Blathers. Think what now? Apostrophe apostrophe replied Giles, looking vacantly at his questioner. Think it's the same boy, stupid head? Apostrophe apostrophe rejoined Blathers, impatiently. I don't know, I really don't know, apostrophe said Giles, with a rueful countenance. I couldn't swear to him. Apostrophe, what do you think? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Mr. Blathers. I don't know what to think, apostrophe replied poor Giles. I don't think it is the boy, indeed, I'm almost certain that it isn't. You know it can't be. Apostrophe, has this man been a drinking, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Blathers, turning to the doctor. What a precious muddle-headed chap you are. Apostrophe apostrophe said Duff, addressing Mr. Giles, with supreme contempt. Mr. Losberne had been feeling the patient's pulse during this short dialogue, but he now rose from the chair by the bedside, and remarked that if the officers had any doubts upon the subject, they would perhaps like to step into the next room, and have Brittles before them. Acting upon this suggestion, they adjourned to a neighboring apartment, where Mr. Brittles, being called in, involved himself and his respected superior in such a wonderful maze of fresh contradictions and impossibilities, as tended to throw no particular light on anything, but the fact of his own strong mystification, except, indeed, his declarations that he shouldn't know the real boy if he were put before him that instant. That he had only taken Oliver to be, because Mr. Giles had said he was, and that Mr. Giles had, 5 minutes previously, admitted in the kitchen, that he began to be very much afraid he had been a little too hasty. Among other ingenious surmises, the question was then raised, whether Mr. Giles had really hit anybody, and upon examination of the fellow pistol to that which he had fired, it turned out to have no more destructive loading than gunpowder and brown paper. A discovery which made a considerable impression on everybody but the doctor, who had drawn the ball about 10 minutes before. Upon no one, however, did it make a greater impression than on Mr. Giles himself, who, after laboring, for some hours, under the fear of having mortally wounded a fellow creature, eagerly caught at this new idea, and favored it to the utmost. Finally, the officers, without troubling themselves very much about Oliver, left the Chertsey constable in the house, and took up their rest for that night in the town, promising to return the next morning. With the next morning, there came a rumor that two men and a boy were in the cage at Kingston, who had been apprehended overnight under suspicious circumstances, and to Kingston Mrs. Blathers and Duff journeyed accordingly. The suspicious circumstances, however, resolving themselves, on investigation, into the one fact that they had been discovered sleeping under a haystack, which, although a great crime, is only punishable by imprisonment, and is, in the merciful eye of the English law, and its comprehensive love of all the king's subjects, held to be no satisfactory proof, in the absence of all other evidence, that the sleeper, or sleepers, have committed burglary accompanied with violence, and have therefore rendered themselves liable to the punishment of death. Messrs. Blathers and Duff came back again, as wise as they went. In short, after some more examination, and a great deal more conversation, a neighboring magistrate was readily induced to take the joint bail of Mrs. Maley and Mr. Losburn for Oliver's appearance, if he should ever be called upon, and Blathers and Duff, being rewarded with a couple of guineas, returned to town with divided opinions on the subject of their expedition. The latter gentleman, on a mature consideration of all the circumstances, inclining to the belief that the burglarious attempt had originated with the family pet, and the former being equally disposed to concede the full merit of it to the great Mr. Conkey Chickweed. Meanwhile, Oliver gradually throve and prospered under the united care of Mrs. Maley, Rose, and the kind-hearted Mr. Losburn. If fervent prayers, gushing from hearts overcharged with gratitude, be heard in heaven, and if they be not, what prayers are? The blessings which the orphan child called down upon them, sunk into their souls, diffusing peace and happiness. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.